Hi, Daniel. Come on up here, buddy. I already introduced Daniel. I want to say something to you, our family of faith, Mount Tabor Baptist Church. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, and God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And I want you to recognize, I believe this is a man of God. I believe he is a gift from God. And I want to ask that you hear from God through him today. And then I want you to make your ballot. But you realize the task that you have today is whether this gentleman, this man of God, will serve us in the days ahead. Brother, I love you. I thank God for you. I know that you're one of God's good gifts. And we're excited about you being here today. Let's pray together. Father, we love you today. Lord, we just thank you that you give, that you gave your son that we might have life, that you give servants that we might be encouraged and directed and saved. And I remember what Daniel said last night. You've gave those others to make a difference in his life, and now you've given him, and I pray that he might make a difference. Holy Spirit, help him as he speaks. And then you speak to us, for we want your will to be done today. Your name to be known. In Jesus' name, we ask your blessing. Amen. All right, brother.
Oh, man. Well, thank you very much for allowing me to come and just speak on what the Lord has done in my life. Before we do anything, let's just bow before the Lord again. Lord, we come before you and we want to say thank you. Say thank you that, Lord, you know our hearts and you call us by name. God, you're so big and vast and you control the universe in your hands, Lord. Yet you know Daniel. You know who I am. You know my thoughts, my actions, my heart, Lord. And you still pour out love and mercy on me and everyone here. Lord, we, in our human minds, will never understand that, Lord, but we say thank you for that. Thank you that you have given your Son as a sacrifice, Lord, to redeem us, Lord, to bring us back into your fellowship. Thank you for saving my life, Lord. I pray that what I say today will not be my words, but you speaking through, and just the reality is that I would not ever be here without your grace and your mercy and your provision in my life. Thank you, Lord, for what you do. Give us strength. Praise Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just, Pastor Philip asked me just to give my testimony, just so y'all can get a glimpse in my life and why I am here. Those that were there last night, you kind of got a spoiler alert. But something I said last night is that I grew up in church. The running joke that I say a lot is that I was born on a Wednesday and I was at church the next Sunday. And it's kind of how it seems and how it's been. I'm very thankful for that. And, I mean, I can take this moment now, standing here before y'all, just to say thank you to my parents. Because I would not be right here if it wasn't for them bringing me to church every Sunday, Wednesday, anytime the doors were open, showering me with love of that came from Christ alone. So just want to say thank you. Mom, Dad. But my testimony begins there. I mean, I grew up in church, so I knew a lot of the church answers. I knew all the answers in Sunday school class, things like that. So about 8 years old, I went up to the preacher and I said, I want to be saved. Really did not know what that meant at that time. But he talked me through and we had some discussion. I grew up in church, so I knew all the right answers. And so something I believe there was a beginning point of me actually searching for what Christ really wanted for my life. But that wasn't the time that I surrendered my life to the Lord. And I think there's a vast difference between knowing the answers in your head, but then believing them in your heart, what the Lord has really done and what Christ has done for us. And so it wasn't until sixth grade that I remember vividly the day of me just bowing on my knees and saying, Lord, my life is yours. Whatever that means, however that goes, I am yours. I surrender my life to you. I believe that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, that he died on a cross, on that mercy tree for me, for everyone here, covered my sin, but the beauty that he rose again on the third day. I believe that, Lord. And that was the day that my journey with Christ began. And that's why, part of why I want to be a youth pastor, a youth minister, is that my journey in faith began when I was a youth. And so moving from there, went through middle school, and middle school is middle school. We're all a little awkward, and things are always kind of just, you're just kind of getting to know the world more. But it was good. I was attending FCA and growing. But then entering into high school is when the Lord really solidified my call to ministry. I had three different youth pastors going through youth group, and that's a good thing and a bad thing. You know, for a youth group, you know, you need stability. You need people that are here for the long haul. And that's what I want to do. I want to be here for the long haul, and not just here for a year, year and a half, and move on. But I had three different youth pastors, and they each taught me something about Christ and about living the faith that I still carry today. One of them, he taught me, I was a freshman in high school, and he sat me down, and he gave me a Greek concordance and a Hebrew concordance. He said, this is the original language of the Bible. You're going to learn how to actually look that up. And I was a freshman in high school. I was like, what are you talking about? I thought the Bible was in English. But just men of God and women of God that poured into my life and took notice of me and said, hey, you're the next generation. I want to pour into you. I want you to make an impact on this world. And if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. Because what they taught me, it was funny, just in Sunday school this morning, we were talking about integrity as kind of the life lesson before. And I know that my integrity was shaped and formed because of those men and women that poured into my life and taught me what it means to obey Christ on a daily basis, walking with him. And really, freshman year of high school, that's when the Lord was like, all right, Daniel, what these guys have been doing for you, this is what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. I want you to be pouring into students. I was like, a freshman in high school, I was like, Lord, I'm a freshman. You know, shouldn't I have a little bit more time before you tell me this? And it's like, no, this is your call. This is what you're going to do. I said, yes, Lord, I surrender my life to you in sixth grade. This is where I'm going. So I've known from an early age what I wanted to do and the passion that the Lord has put in my heart. And something that spoke to me whenever I was growing up through high school and things like that, and my conviction and kind of why I do what I do is because I think that young people are called to. I think young people and students, they have a responsibility in the Christian faith just like adults. They are believers, and so my verse that I always point to when I think of why am I doing youth ministry, Paul in 1 Timothy writes to Timothy a letter, and if y'all know, Paul and Timothy was kind of a mentee-mentor relationship, but Paul had trained him up. He sent him out to do the work of Christ. He sent him a letter for encouragement, and Timothy is a younger guy compared to Paul, and so he's teaching him things like that. But something beautiful he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, he says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And that spoke to my heart whenever I was presented that verse and through high school, and it's something I cling on to now and kind of my verse for ministry, why I do youth ministry, because students, youth, guess what? You're believers. You set an example just like everyone else, and I'm keeping you to that standard, and I'm walking with you with that. But that's why I'm here to be a youth pastor, and this is why the Lord has put this in my heart, because students, youth, I think we're not naive enough to believe what they go through every day. You can turn on the news, and you see everything that's being thrown in everyone's face, just The world is getting stronger, and they're impacting youth younger ages, and it takes people like me and you sitting in there to stand up with our youth and to pour into them and to be there for them. Because, I mean, they're believers too. We need to be there. I mean, this is why we meet on Resurrection Sunday, so we can fellowship, so we can be encouraged by each other, so we can be strengthened and equipped to go out and do the ministry of Christ. And it's just the same with young people. They need you guys. Youth, they need you. We all need each other. Imagine that, right? So we all need each other. And that's why I do youth ministry, because youth are called to be an example in faith and love and life and purity. And that's what one of my things is. I want to equip y'all, and I want to be there for y'all as we go through that. So moving through, just kind of giving the whole life of Daniel now. Went through high school. I think sophomore, junior, senior years where I was the true test of my faith began. Part of my testimony is I love sports. I played baseball, ran cross country in high school. Baseball was a large part of my life. I was on a very good high school team, won a state championship, not bragging or anything like that. But it was a huge part of my life, and I was around guys that I loved and cared for deeply. But the reality is that sometimes that locker room is a dark place, and sometimes people aren't following the word and not following what the word says each and every day like some of us. And that was the test of, what am I going to do? The Lord was asking me, all right, Daniel, you're here. What are you going to do? Are you going to follow what everybody else is doing? Are you going to actually be the salt and light of the earth for me in this place? And that was a hard test, because when you're in high school, a baseball player, you kind of want to be the cool guy, right? But I had to suck that up and realize that I'm called to something higher than just being a cool guy. I'm called to be a believer and a Christian and the light of the world. So that's what high school, it was great. I tell my parents all the time that I never want to go back to high school because everything else seems so much better now. But I loved it in high school, but I knew the Lord was calling to me youth ministry. So senior year rolls around, and I knew I wanted to be a youth minister, and so I started looking at schools that offered majors and curriculum in youth ministry, because, I mean, that's what I wanted to do. I didn't want to spend my time learning, I don't know, biology when I wanted to be a youth pastor. They can only get you so far, right? So I wanted to be a youth pastor, so I looked for youth ministry degrees. And a school that I had friends going to already, named Chocoa Falls College, was the one, one of the few ones in Georgia that actually offered a youth ministry major. And so the reality is, my parents can tell you that I didn't want to go there at first, because it was 1,000 people max, if that. And so it was a very small pond, and I didn't want to be swimming in a small pond. But again, the Lord spoke to me and said, it's not what you want, Daniel. It's what I need from you. And so that's what Lord called me there, and he made himself known. Just as Saul, we were sitting in Potter's hand, you know, as you follow the Lord and obey his commands, he will mold you and he will graft you into what he needs from you and the way he wants to use you. The way he was molding me, the day I stepped on campus for my tour, there's obviously Chocoa Falls. There's a huge waterfall, 186 feet, higher than Niagara Falls. Just throwing that out there with y'all. Not as wide, but as taller. Stepped on there, and there's a rainbow that was going over the falls. And I was like, all right, God, I got you now. I understand. And so just the Lord working in my life. And I look back in my short time knowing that the Lord had his hand in my life, and he has blessed me tremendously. And he has been working in every aspect, and I am thankful for that. And guys, we don't deserve what we get. I'm a sinner. I make mistakes every day. I deserve condemnation. I deserve to be set apart from God. But do y'all understand that he loves us so much that he pours out grace and sends his son? I always have to just stop and think. And, like, in my mind, it just swirls around. It doesn't make sense, honestly. But praise the Lord that he has. Hallelujah. So I got to college, Toccoa Falls, freshman year. I'm telling you, college was the best time of my life. I got to spend time with men and women that were like me, that wanted to go into the ministry, wanted to go on the mission field, and what a new experience. Because I was in public school, and everybody wants to go get a huge degree at Georgia Tech or UGA and then go make lots of money. And I wanted to be a youth pastor. So it was great being around people that I could sit around and, like, so the Trinity, you want to talk about that? You'd be like, yeah, let's talk about the Trinity and just things like that. I loved it. College was wonderful. I grew so much. But I think I grew because I was away and from home. And I think when you get away from home, you start understanding who you're going to rely on, you know. And there was a time when I started to rely on myself. You know, I was Daniel Nally, an RA for a year. I was the first ever junior assistant resident director. Guess what, guys? It's just a title, all right? Doesn't mean much. But I started to rely on myself, and then I experienced this crazy thing called burnout. If y'all have never experienced it, the Lord has blessed you, because I experienced it for the first time, and I literally was sick. I didn't hate people. That's a bad word. People annoyed me more because I just wasn't in the right place. I wasn't following the Lord, and I was relying on myself. But then all these things that were hitting me and trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life after that and, like, where the Lord was going to lead me after college. But the Lord spoke to me again, as He always does, whenever you just bow your knee to Him and come before Him, He'll speak. It may not be the timing that you want, and I'm going to get to that too, why I'm here today. But the Lord will answer your prayers. You just have to listen to where the Holy Spirit's leading. But the Spirit led me to another verse, and it's something that's dear to my heart also. It's Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 6. The background of it is Joshua is the man that took over the Israelite nation after Moses. Moses has passed away. The Lord raised up Joshua. He said, all right, you're going to lead my people into the promised land. And that is a scary thing, especially if you follow behind Moses, the guy that took a rod, parted some waters, the guy that actually saw the glory of God, the guy that held the original Ten Commandments in his hands. Following him, scary thing. I can't even imagine. But the Lord speaks to Joshua, and it just shows that the Lord knows our hearts, and He knows what we need when we need it. In verse 6, He says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that scripture passage spoke to me in college, and kind of what I clinged on to, because I was afraid of the future. I was afraid what was next. I'm a guy that likes everything planned out, and I follow that plan, and that's how it goes. But the Lord radically shook me of that, because He said, it's not your plan you need to be following, Daniel. It's my plan. And I cling to that verse because the Lord says, be strong and courageous, because I'm with you guys. I am walking with you. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, living inside of you. You have Christ covering you, His blood's covering you. Then you have the Father looking over you. The Trinity is always with you. God is always with you, always leading you and guiding you. So do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. But something that speaks volumes to me in this passage is that before he gives do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, he says, don't let this book of the law depart from you. Meditate on it day and night. And it shows the importance of this word, the Bible. This is why we need to be in it each and every day. And it's something that I strayed away from in college for a little while. But just reality of what goodness is in here. That the Lord, He speaks to us every day. Right here. Here it is. This is how He speaks to us each and every day. And it's beautiful. The Lord knows what we need if we just go before Him and go before His Word. And so that's the scripture I held on to in college. So senior year came, and Daniel started to get worried. Because planning Daniel wanted to have a job right out of college and be ready to go. But the Lord in His wisdom and His mercy and His sovereignty, He said, "No, I have the perfect place for you. Just wait." And that was my summer. This past summer was probably it was another different trying time for me, because I was starting to question myself and question, well, what's going on? You know, I don't have any churches that, you know, moving forward with me, not really doing much. I'm just sitting in my parents' house eating all their food and not working. Like, what am I doing? And then mom and dad being nice people there, I was like, it's okay, you're going to find some. When? And so, and that's kind of where my call to Mount Tabor begins this summer. I was discouraged, dismayed, really questioning what was going on in my life. And then I looked on a website and I saw Mount Tabor Baptist Church looking for youth pastor. And I said, oh, that's cool. What city? Anderson, South Carolina. Oh, I like Anderson. That's a great place. That's where Krispy Kreme is. No, that's not. I love the city of Anderson. We had one of our winter formals here. Me and Maddie come up here for date nights when we were in school, things like that. But I love the city. I was like, oh, Anderson, that seems like a great community. I think I may, like, send my resume and see what happens. Well, the Lord, at that point, you know, I started to become kind of move back into, all right, Lord, I'm trusting You again. And it's amazing how He opens doors when you need, when He wants them and when He's going to move you next. So I sent in my resume, and I got to Skype call the search committee with Wendy and Chris and Greg, and John's not here. He's heading down to Florida. But just all these people and Mr. Jeff. And then just talking to them, and I was nervous, guys. I'm Skype call. I'm in my guest bedroom talking to these people, interviewing. And I think the moment that I realized, I think this is where the Lord's leading me, is this slight thing. All the other interviews in my, when I was searching for, they're always down to business, you know, not much about personal life, things like that. But then they started joking about, I see you have your state championship on your resume, blah, blah. And then Greg, he asked, so what was your PR time in cross country? And I think then I knew that these people in this church, they care more about than just me being the youth pastor. They care about me. That's a huge thing, guys. I'm telling you, like, I've talked to a lot of churches, been involved in a lot of churches, and it's a wonderful thing when a church fully wants to know your life and wants to be invested in you. And that's when the Lord was like, this is what I've been waiting for, Daniel. Are you ready? And I wasn't ready. I came in last night, meeting all of y'all last night and meeting the youth, and man, blown out of the water. Y'all are amazing people. I am excited for what the Lord is going to do. But that's my call here. The Lord took me out of a place where I was discouraged. He said, don't be discouraged. This is what I've called you to, and I'm going to provide, and I'm going to bring you to a place that you're going to partner with, and you're going to serve, and things are going to be wonderful and amazing at this church. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. I appreciate you taking time and just listening to my heart. Youth ministry is my passion. Making disciples is my passion. The Lord tells us, Christ, before He leaves, He says, go make disciples of all nations, baptize them, teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. And so that's my passion for youth. I want to disciple them, be with them, walk with y'all, because I know it gets hard sometimes. But that's my heart, guys. Thank you for listening. But I want to leave you with one more verse. And this is the verse that I, man, this summer, this verse spoke to me in so many ways. And I think it just shows that the Lord knows what we need when we need it. And what He provides for us is going to be more than anything that we can ever imagine. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at the work in us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's a verse that I have clinged on to this summer, and I want to hold on to all the way through. The Lord is going to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine here at Mount Tabor and in our youth group. I believe that, and like it says in that verse, all glory and honor is going to Him. And that's the most exciting thing. You know, when we start bringing honor and glory to ourselves, that's when things start going awry. And it's just not a good place to be in. But all glory and honor is going to Christ. And I'm saying amen to that. So that's my heart. Thank you for listening. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I'm excited to serve y'all. I'm excited to partner with y'all and be part of the Mount Tabor family. So that's my heart.
Amen. Thank you, Daniel. Listen, he said three important things. I want to summarize it this way. We're going to have an invitation in just a minute. The first thing he said that was important, he said, I surrendered. Each one of us has to come to a place where we've surrendered our life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I want to ask you this morning. What's God saying to you? Are you surrendered to Him? Secondly, he said, I'm committed. He came to a place in his life that not only was he surrendered to Christ as his Lord and Savior, but he was committed to Christ. I want to ask you this morning, are you committed? Because, see, I believe God is saying through Daniel to us this morning, I love you. Are you surrendered to me? I love you. Are you committed to me? And then thirdly, he said something else very important. He said this, God has called me to be where I'm at. Be where you're at. Because the place that God has placed you is important. Three things. What's God saying to you this morning? And what's your response to Him? Will you stand? Father, we thank you so much for your word that was spoken this morning. As we saw, Lord, how you brought somebody into this world and all along the way, Lord, worked everything that we might be surrendered to you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, across this place, that we would examine our own hearts this morning. Would you speak, Holy Spirit? And then secondly, Lord, committed. Lord, across this place, would you just speak into our hearts and our lives? And Lord, you've placed us here today. And so I pray now that you'd help us to keep what you've committed until the day that we come home or you move us to another place. Have your way in this time of response and invitation, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.